At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in. It is Saturday night, January 18th. All three colliders are here. We are ready to assemble and break down tonight's episode of Maximum Carnage Collision here on the Fightful YouTube channel, live from Cincinnati, Ohio. Well, not live, taped. If it was live, I would be leaving the arena. I left the arena on Thursday. Did anybody see me in the crowd tonight? It was a lot easier to see me on Wednesday because I was in the front row on Wednesday. But it's all right. It's weird being in. It's weird watching back a show you were there live for. It's very. Yeah. I'm like, man, this whole 2 hours is just absolute deja vu. But it was fun while it was there. I thought the venue came off looking great. I thought the crowd was. Yeah. They have got. I've heard Sean say this before, and I have to agree with him. They have got to do a better job of miking up these venues, because we sounded dead as hell on television, and it was deafening in the arena when we or the venue. It's not an arena, but the venue when we were there, it was really, really loud live being there. It sounded dead on television, which is, I don't know how that's possible, but I digress. We'll dive through everything that happened on the 2 hour collision tonight, which, by the way, a lot of stuff got trimmed down. This taping ran over by about 20 minutes. So I was very interested to see what was going to make it and what did not. So this show was even longer than what it was, came out to be tonight. So, we will break down everything that happened tonight. Iridian Fiero is here. Cresta is here as well. Ladies, how are you doing? How has your week been?
Doing great.
Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. It's chilly in Chicago, and it's only going to get colder. We were talking a little bit about this before we went on air. But Cresta, I'm so excited that we're back. We're here to defend our trio's titles, and I'm so excited. Also, I know you weren't here last week, but Rick is officially a hot girl. There's so much that happened. So I'm glad that you're here with me tonight. I'm super excited. Cresta, how has your week been?
Honestly, to allude also, we're going off air. My nephews right now are sick. Shout out to the parents. You guys are the real soldiers. You guys, woof. I am so tired. I don't even know what's up from down right now. And if I turn into a hermit for the next week, it's because I'm taking back all my energy. Besides that, wrestling was good tonight. I'm not going to complain. There's a lot going on. I am very happy to watch Collision because right now, TNA's on my shit. It's not going to hold you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You ain't here? Miss Bessa Blanchard is back in.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, if you want to offer specifics, feel free to offer the specifics.
Yeah, that's it. FML.
Ooh, fair enough. Yeah. let's just dive in from the top of the show. Now, just to kind of peel the curtain back, right? We have a group chat between the three of us on X, that we like to send notes to one another and this, that, and the other thing, our little pre-show chats. We got four messages from Cresta, during this matchup, all caps from Cresta. I hate this match. This was not for you tonight. The Texas death match between Hangman Adam Page and Christopher Daniels. They busted this man up early. A lot of chairs, a lot of tables, a lot of barbed wire. You can trust if Hangman Adam Page is in a Texas death match, he is going to be bringing barbed wire to the party. I thoroughly enjoyed this, being in the crowd for it. I was actually much happier being five rows back on Thursday for this match after Powerhouse Hobbs nearly spit a piece of Moxley's ear on me in the front row on the night before. So I was happy to be a little bit back from the blood this time around. Look, this turning into what it ended up being, right? The reports that this was Christopher Daniels' last match, which we did not know going into it. And by the way, one of the things that got cut from the show tonight was after this match was over, Christopher Daniels gets helped to the back and got a great round of applause from the crowd in Cincinnati. Tony Khan came out and, you know, said, "Hey, everybody, give it up for Christopher Daniels." So they had a nice little moment for him after the match was over. And at that point, that was before Sean's report, as we get a run in.
She's disrespectful. She jumped on my chin. She had to go. In 10 seconds, I'd be gone from here. I don't trust. She's not a friend of the forest.
But, you know, before Sean's report even came out about Christopher Daniels, you could kind of tell, like, that this was, you know, this was a special event, a moment for him, whether it was going to be his last match or not. And as we found out, this was his retirement match. I thought this was a pretty good way to send him out Iridian. This was something, clearly he comes out, looks like a million bucks in that priest robe at the beginning. And I'm just like, oh, dude, he's looking fly as hell. And then he proceeded to get dominated for the first half of this match. And I'm just like, damn, is this just going to be a straight up squash match? And then finally he was able to get a little bit of a hope going toward the end once he was able to deliver the Uranagi Hangman Adam Page through the table with the barbed wire on top of it, which I'm sure Cresta really enjoyed. But overall, I thought this was a really good matchup, a great way to send off Christopher Daniels Iridian.
Oh, absolutely. I was confused going into this match because I was like, all right, why are we going to get Hangman and Christopher Daniels in a Texas death match? It was like things were not adding up for me. I'm like, okay, they said, you know, I was just trying to be your friend, but oh, Hangman, you only want to fight. I was like, still not sure. But, you know, Sean's report came out and I was like, oh, this makes sense. If it's a retirement match, of course, you want to have a badass match if that's going to be your final one, and a match against Hangman. That's not a small match. Like, no. That's big time. So I thought this match was phenomenal. Honestly, if he wanted to keep going tonight, prove that he can still go. But if he wanted this one to be the official last one, totally understand. The barbed wire right off the bat was disgusting. I was right there with Cresta. Like, why? We just started the show. We're not even 5 minutes in.
They set the tone. They set the tone. Like, they waited until, like, on Wednesday, if you remember, they waited until like the end of the night to start the carnage. And it was like, no, they're just picking right back up where Moxley left off on Thursday. Yeah.
It was terrifying. But man, he just has such a fantastic showing. What a great athlete and what a great last match to have in AEW for Christopher Daniels. And man, it was so good. So good. Cresta, what'd you think?
So objectively speaking,
Here we go.
I understand why this match was brutal, knowing that this was his farewell match. Mm-hmm. Watching old school TNA, it was disgusting back then too. I give him his props. I think this match showed that, A, like Iridian said, he could still go. And I think Hangman treated him with such respect. You know what I mean? It was such a beautiful moment, objectively. Subjectively speaking, this is, yo, I'm soft, bro. I don't care. I like my wrestling carny, not bloody. Come out there and wrestle as Barney.
So you would prefer if the show was Maximum Carney? right? Instead of Carnage. Mm.
Jeff Jarrett booked this shit. Let's go. But like, I literally wrote one of my notes. It is 8:07 and the blood started. I get it. It's just not for me. And that's fine. I might be the only one there, but I'm a soft baby. Objectively speaking, this was a fantastic match. And I think that both of these men, I don't have a lot of notes. I've got to tell you, I kind of walked away from this one. This is gross. This is very gross to me. But it was a good match on what I did see from doing this, okay? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Christopher Daniels. Anytime you want to, maybe you need to jump at him. I would watch it. Not like this, though, but I would watch you jump Hangman Page. Mm.
Yeah, after the match was over, we get Hangman Adam Page. He's walking away, and then he decides to come around. He ain't done doling out the punishment. He comes in, and he delivers Angel's Wings to Christopher Daniels. So, like, the last thing that we see from Christopher Daniels in the ring is he's taking his own finisher to end it out. And, you know, if Hangman wants to hang on to that now, I think that would be... That would be pretty cool. Kind of like a legitimate kind of passing of the torch type of moment. A lot of people in the chat, sad to see Christopher Daniels go. This is a guy who started, back in the early 90s. So he's had, you know, multiple decades in the business. I'm not even going to try to math today after the after the day that I've had. But, you know, multiple decades in the business. Great runs with TNA and obviously get New Japan and getting to wrap up here. It's always sad when somebody goes out, but he went out the way he wanted to go out. I'm sure. Get your super chats in, get your humper chats in, guys. Just like Just Ricardo here says, "Hi guys," and then, you know, a lot of waves and bruvs and stuff of that nature. So we got a lot of the learning tree tonight. By the way, we'll get to that. But before we do, ladies, it was Tony time. We're talking Tony Schiavone and Tony Storm. Tony comes out to celebrate her big win Wednesday in the Casino Gauntlet match. Biggest win of her career. I mean, it is, man, a meteoric rise here for Tony Storm, who's only been wrestling in AEW for about a month or so. This was her eighth match on Wednesday. She picks up the win. Now she's getting to go home. Grand Slam Australia in the building where she saw her first ever wrestling show. Mom's going to be in attendance. She's getting a shot here to face Mariah May for the AEW Women's Championship. Iridian, you can't help but feel just happy for this young upstart here.
Not the young upstart.
Hey, I am fully committed to the bid on this one. All right.
You know, in a podcast that I was listening to, someone was talking about how this character of Tony, like, she could have just come back as regular Tony, right? And they would have been fine. But she's really dedicating herself to, like, this is the first time I've been here. This is the actual first time that I've been here. And it's literally hilarious. Her dedication to the bit, admirable. I love to see it. And the fact that Tony Schiavone was in there with her saying, like, really? Come on, like, you know,
immediately
Mariah.
Cut her off or cut him off immediately. Yeah. Cut him off.
And she's like, no, you're a Tony too. You understand, it's Tony time. Like, oh my God. She said, this is the first time in Australia. My mom used to sell hot dogs. She made my gear. I was ready to cry. I was like, I'm here for it. This is going to be her first time in Australia, guys.
Yeah.
Impressed. I'm just impressed with her and the way that she keeps going. She is limitless. She needs to take Keith Lee. Yep. Sorry, Keith Lee. It's Tony Limitless now.
Her character work is it's next level. It is the reason why we over at SI voted her the Women's Wrestler of the Year in 2024, even though she missed most of the back half of the last quarter of the year. She was off of AEW TV. But what she did as Timeless Tony, and now she is committed to this new bit here. I wish I could say more about it. I can't say shit about it. I did get a chance to talk to Tony after AEW Dynamite. We had set it up to where I was going to talk to the Casino Gauntlet winner. And when it was Tony, I was like, Oh, well, this is going to be a very interesting conversation because she is old school, fully 100% committed to the bit 24/7, 365. I'm very interested to see where this goes and how this is all going to make sense here shortly. But I, Krista, I can't help but think like this is all part of a master plan to get over on Mariah May. And now she's got her opportunity to do it.
If this is all one elaborate plan, first of all, where is Jade Cargill to say, Tony, cut the shit? And I cannot believe this is a missed opportunity. Second of all, Toni Storm, like you said, the character work, the dedication to the bit, I could never. I can't commit to doing my nails for 5 minutes, let alone commit to being somebody else, pretending to be somebody else for a whole year, and then pretend to be somebody else completely different. She's a genius. That being said, I'm sorry, pardon me. If this is an elaborate ruse to get over on somebody, oh my, this is Cartman levels of girl, get the hell out of here. I think of one episode of South Park in particular where he pretended Jennifer Lopez was on his hand. And it was like, yo, you're not sneaky. And I feel like her cutting Tony off and Tony was about to say like, but bro, like,
yeah,
somebody's got to call her out. And I don't know why Deanna Purrazzo, the last time she tried, spent like 2-3 weeks like, girl, you're not an old Hollywood movie star. And then they had one match, two match, and then that's it. Girl, I live.
We could spend 45 minutes talking about what's been going on with Deanna Purrazzo since she's got the AEW.
Listen, she's not the subject right now. I don't want to get mad right now. Okay? I don't want to get mad. I'm just saying somebody's got to be like, girl, knock it. No. Somebody who? I don't know who, but somebody's got it. This is, and again, all an elaborate ruse to get over on Mariah May.
It's either that or it is like everybody's calling it the amnesia storyline, right? Because she doesn't remember any of her AEW run, right? So Iridian, to me, it's either this is all an elaborate plan to sneak one on Mariah, and maybe that happens at Grand Slam Australia, or she is just having an absolute mental breakdown. Like, I don't think this is amnesia. I think it's either mental illness or Master Rouge. It's one of the two, I believe.
It's got to be a master plan. Absolutely. Because we were kind of thinking like, all right, who is going to go up against Mariah? You know, there were so many people who were being built for, you know, having a championship run and they didn't get that. So now that the story is back and we're focusing on Tony, well, then it makes sense for Tony to be the one to dethrone Mariah and now be this character of like, this is my first championship in AEW. Could you imagine? Like, she is just going to be so wild. And the next time she is face to face with Tony Khan, it's going to be Tony time again. So there's just going to be Tony time all the time.
Please.
She's a genius. She really is. And I think that's what the plan is that she's going to dethrone Mariah May.
Yeah. I like, and seriously. So if you want to, by the way, my pinned tweet up on X right now is my conversation with Tony. It is, you know, like I said, fully committed to the bit. So read it more like it's satire than actual, like, you know, behind the scenes type interview style. I did have a blast putting that together. But even watching Tony when she got her PW, her Pro Wrestling Illustrated award, and she's like, yeah, I've only been here a month. What are you talking about? I'm the Women's Wrestler of the Year. Like, what she's doing is really, really great, and I'm looking forward to finding out whether or not which one it is. Right, it's either mental illness or it's a master plan, and maybe she unveils herself in this face-to-face meeting with Mariah May, which is going to happen next week on Collision in Jacksonville. All right, they made it sound like it was going to be on Dynamite. It's going to be on Collision, so we'll get to talk about it next week, Krista. What are you expecting out of their first ever meeting between Mariah and Tony on Collision next week?
If Mariah May doesn't say, I guess the shoot of the head made you forget, I'm going to give you another one, or some iteration of that, that is a missed opportunity. I don't know what to expect. I don't. When is the Australia pay-per-view?
I believe it's February 12th. Is it the 12th? No, 15th. I'm sorry, 15th.
I don't think this far out we say, ha-ha, I have tricked you. I don't think we're there yet. I think either a week before or at Australia. But again, if this is all an elaborate ruse, I'm gonna be sports entertained. Like, you got me, girl. Like, she's so good. Like, whether it's amnesia, you know, a ruse or mental, whatever it is, I think I'm still gonna be sports entertained, but super sports entertained. Like, this is camp sports entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Australia is the place where it's going to happen. Like, wherever the next step, this next iteration of the next chapter of Tony's story, I think it's going to happen. You know, whether she wins the title or whether something else goes down in Australia, I think that's the great place to do it. I'm very anxious to see which one it is, or if it's something completely different. Hell, she might win the damn title and still pretend like she's a rookie the next week after that. So, God, this thing's got legs. This thing's got legs. We'll see. I have been promised it will all make sense. That's the only thing. That's the only thing I can share. It'll make sense at some point.
I believe.
Down the line. We had MVP backstage after their win on Dynamite. They won a shot at the Private Party and the tag team titles, and it's going to be happening on Wednesday on Dynamite in Jacksonville. Private Party defending the tag team titles, Iridian, against Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. I do not feel good for Private Party.
Absolutely. We're having new champions. We're getting new champions, and I think they're going to have a fantastic run. I think the fans love them. The fans want to hurt people too. So I guess we're just all part of that on that boat. And I just feel so sorry for Private Party because I thought they were just going to have such a different run, and they're not doing what I thought they were going to do in AEW, and that's not their fault. But
Men, if you've lost your hair, it does not mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. It makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose between personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. There are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's HIMS.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's HIMS.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Just, I had a different vision for them, and it's not happening, and I'm sad, but hopefully we will build back up to it sometime, someday.
See, this is the thing. It's like in a bubble, Krista, I'm not mad at Lashley and Shelton Benjamin
absolutely
getting the tag team titles. I just feel like, man, Private Party hasn't even really had a chance to get off the ground yet. 5 years. It took them 5 years to win the titles. They beat the Young Bucks to get them. And it feels like it just doesn't feel like this is the right time to make a change. But I don't, if they don't pull the trigger, I can't imagine that it's going to be anything other than some, you know, DQ BS something or other. It's going to be some kind of a BS finish.
My mic was muted. I really feel I super feel bad for Private Party. I agree with what both of you said. It took them so long to get here. And as an AEW original, I would hope, I expected them to at least get some sort of push. And that's no fault of their own. The wrestling has been superb. Mm-hmm. I blame creative. I don't care. I'm doing it. I got my finger out. That being said, we heard people. We heard people. Y'all could have went for the trios. Y'all could have let Private Party rock, but you didn't. So we heard people. Like he said, we crashing that party. I'm so sorry for Private Party. And I already see in the yonder what's going to be their first match, and it's going to be the Beast Machine. And I can't wait because that's going to be a meaty-ass match. But poor Private Party. And my biggest fear is that after this, because I do feel like, respectfully, the Hurt Syndicate is a transitional tag team. And I'm only saying that because I think there are other tag teams. Oh, who is get this out. Guy? Oh, I'm dang. Up. I have on. Nothing to say.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we got to run in. What's up, Sean? How's it going?
Going pretty good. Rick, I know you were at this show. I was not, unfortunately. But let's see if I can get my earbuds going. Probably not. But we did break a lot of news in conjunction with this show on FightfulSelect.com. Right now, it's the best $5 a month, $54 a year in the business. At the end of the month, it will be the best $6 a month or $64 a year in the business. You can lock in your annual price right now. And last plug, I promise. The Fightful Awards Sunday at 6:00. Yes. We're like still actively getting some acceptance speeches, but we've got like a dozen of them already. Some scheduling conflicts will prevent a couple of them, but man, I'm just so excited for these. We've got some new awards like Hater of the Year, the Big Boss Man Memorial Hater of the Year award. Very, very excited about that. But also, I want to thank Kate, who did a great job with like helping arrange sponsors and stuff for those. If you feel like you want to sponsor them, there's still time to get that done before tomorrow. But by God, there was some stuff that happened tonight. I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet. I'm about to eat tacos and I'm watching playoff games. So Christopher Daniels is retiring.
Yeah. And we did talk about that a little bit earlier. Like your report came out after, you know, the match had happened Thursday. And it's just I had made a mention because we didn't see it on TV tonight that after the match, Christopher Daniels was walked to the back. The crowd gave him a nice, you know, a nice round of applause afterwards. Tony Khan came out afterwards and said, give it up for Christopher Daniels. And you could tell that there was something kind of special going on in that moment. It wasn't just a normal.
Yeah. You know, I can tell you as a person who reported that story, I was very conflicted on whether or not I should. And I asked somebody close to Christopher Daniels, like, should I put this out there, especially beforehand? And they were like, yeah, I think you'd get some more eyes on it. I think some people would watch it and appreciate it for that reason. Cause I am very much of the belief, like I'm not going to announce somebody's pregnancy or something like that. And a retirement, very, very similar. Like I had mentioned this on the show before, like one of Big E's friends would refer to him as a retired wrestler to me years ago. And I'm like, I don't feel like that's mine to put out there, but now we're years removed from it. Christopher Daniels is a guy who has been looking to wrap up his in-ring career for quite some time. And it's easy to forget he's 54 years old. I mean, he's not in line for a big push or anything like that, but he's a guy that, even though he's not, you know, factored into the top programs or anything like that, there's not a lot he can't do. And I've mentioned this probably 50 times on this show. He gave me the best in-ring advice I ever got. Cause I was, I think maybe a year or 2 or 3 years ago was the first time I ever saw him botch a move ever. And I was like, okay, how did you go so long with like never doing that? And he said, I never do anything in minute five that I can't do in minute 30. And that's very, very like great advice. And he's been able to do all the same stuff for a long time. Like he was doing the moonsault tonight. Mm-hmm. Like he did all these things. And I mean, I know it's something that even after the Jack Perry TNT title match that he did, like he was looking to actively wrap up his career. This is his first match since September. And I know that they had talked about doing it in the fall. They had talked about doing it at World's End. And Christopher Daniels was adamant. He wanted Hangman Page to be the guy to do it. And I mean, I think it worked out great. Like you've got Hangman Page writing this guy off and then like taking his move from mm-hmm. him. So like now he gets to add that to his arsenal as well.
I said the same thing. I was like, I want to see him keep using it. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so good. Like it was so perfect. And he is obviously now involved in talent relations and has been for quite some time. And I know the Young Bucks were expected there in Cincinnati. And when I was told that, I was like, well, I know they're not supposed to be on the show, so why are they there? And then that's what led to me finding out, oh, he's going to retire. Another note from that match, I didn't do a full report on this, but I'm probably going to work on one. But I'll give it to you guys here. Hangman Page got stitched up after this, but he seemed to be fine. I posted that for my little Twitter subscriber thing. I'm doing that and donating all the proceeds to appropriate causes. This month, I will donate it to Wildfire Relief. All the super chats and humper chats we get on the award show, I'm going to match that amount for Red Cross Wildfire Relief in LA. So check that out, support that. But some other notes, Allie Albright, Alexis Littlefoot, friends of Fightful, they were backstage at the show. Sean Stewart, who works as Lord Crew, worked as security on Wednesday's show. They had Allison Kay, Marty Bell there. Marty Bell, who is with Lord Crew, they got some reps on before the ROH show. There were a lot of people. I saw some bad faith grifters that are like, oh my God, they can't even sell out the top of the arena. Listen, here's Rick and I know this because Rick lives there, and like Cincinnati is also one of my cities. This is a venue I've walked by 100 times, had never been into until this week. It's sandwiched right between baseball stadium, football stadium.
Yep.
And it's a music venue. It's the Brady Music Center. Where the Tron was is where they generally play music at. There's not usually musicians running out to where the ring is. It's a pit. That's an area where people are going and listening to music. So on the third row or the third deck outside of the first row, you can't see, but they did have people in that first row in that top deck. I went up there myself and even looked at it. I asked if I could for the sake of clarity. And fortunately they let me. But I want to say this wonderful venue,
yes.
Rick. I mean, listen, Rick and I have been subjected to the turd bowl that is Heritage Bank Arena for a long time.
Turning 50.
I have watched
year.
That arena catch fire before a wrestling show, Rick.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Literally, John Cena's entrance pyro caught it on fire.
Yes. Raw 1001. They were testing the pyro and then bam, whole thing catches on fire. That was 13 years ago and it hasn't had a lot of improvements since then.
No, I think they changed the seats like twice to make them more comfortable. But this was the first show that I actually have attended in the city of Cincinnati where I could understand everything in the promos because the acoustics are that bad in the Heritage Bank Center. It's just an old outdated facility that badly needs upgraded. And they're talking about it now finally, but we're probably still another 5 years out from getting an arena. This was a great venue to run. And beautiful. Sean, this is something that I said at the top of the show. It looked great on television, sounded bad, but the acoustics in there, it was loud as hell in there. And again, I don't know what AEW is doing with their mics. They need to mic it up.
They got to do something.
It sounded dead on television. It was not.
So here's one thing that I think that WWE has had right over the last few years up until the Netflix era. After the Thunderdome, they started to do a blanket sound. And what that did was prevent your Bobby Fish moments where you could hear a pin drop. And I'm not one for artificial sound, but if it completely eliminates abject silence, I'm for it. Like, it doesn't have to be like loud, just enough to where there's a little white noise to it. This venue was great. And listen, AEW can't win for losing with some people. They'll say, oh my God, they had to go here. Yeah, they did. That's where they are right now. That's where they are as far as attendance. And you can say they should be doing better with this, this, this. Yes, they are. But I'll tell you this much. I would rather them do 1,500 in a 1,500 seat venue than 2,100 in a 12,000 seat venue. I think what they're doing in Atlanta is very smart. I don't think them selling tickets 3 weeks out is smart. I think that's really weird.
That was my biggest concern with the two Cincinnati shows is like they started selling tickets like 3 weeks before maximum. Like they even started advertising that it was going to be this big show and Kenny Omega was coming back. And I'm like, damn guys, you've only been selling tickets for 3 weeks.
And I'll get into that a little bit more in a moment. Cause Fightful Select did some good reporting on that as well. But in Atlanta, they've been going to like Duluth for a while. They've been going like 40 minutes outside of Atlanta. And listen, you live in a city, man, you don't want to drive 40 minutes in and out, especially rush hour, all that stuff. Now they're in Atlanta. They're in actual Atlanta and they're at a WNBA venue. And I think that's going to be something that benefits them moving forward because these WNBA venues are only going to get nicer over the next 20 years.
Yep.
Like WNBA is taking off. It's next up. They're about to get a good media rights deal. There's about to be a lot of facilities that are being built. And naturally, they're not going to have the scale of the NBA venues, but that's going to be good. They're going to look different on TV. I think that's important for AEW right now. Make it look different. Every single week, make the venue a character on the show. Make it unique. Make something like that happen. And they've been doing that of late with the Hammerstein, with this, which I saw so many people compare it to Hammerstein, and that melted my heart, man. I'm like, that's in one of my cities right there. Like that makes me feel very good that people are even comparing it to that. But
I think like Tony liked it too. Cause at the end of Collision, he came out and he said, you know, the crowd started chanting, please come back, please come back. Mm-hmm. Which just shows you the AEW diehards are still the AEW diehards. And he said, look, I promise you, this was our first time in this building. It will not be our last. So I think Tony
like
was
we're about to get an outdoor amphitheater here in Lexington. I wish they would do that. I wish they would do that instead of Rupp Arena, where it's this cavernous. And plus, Rupp Arena sucks, guys. I mean, I hate it. I love it. Listen, UK till I die, but they wanted. It's horrible. No leg room. If you fall down one stair, buddy, you are hitting the court there. It is like a complete incline. It's horrible. But I digress. Also, speaking of, Taz came back. He and his son. What the hell's wrong with these two guys? Not wearing knee pads, either one of them. No wonder the man needed knee surgery. What runs in that family? What's wrong with them?
Outrageous.
I came on here to talk about Christopher Daniels, and I just want to say I can't possibly convey how important he was to the style that you see in American wrestling on TV today. This guy was doing that style in the 90s. He had a WWE developmental deal. He was on WWF TV. He was signed to WCW. He appeared on ECW. And that's before anybody knew this man. NWA, TNA, ROH, All Japan, New Japan, CMLL, AAA, AEW, all that stuff. He was everywhere. This guy was so versatile. Took a year off and became Curry Man and then went back to his thing. Vince Russo had considered him as the higher power in WWF in 1999. That was one of his original ideas instead of Vince McMahon. What a guy, very influential, has helped out so many people. But as you mentioned, Rick, before I hop off here, this is one of those things they added to the show. They added or these two shows. You know, the big 12-man tag that didn't get the type of buzz Tony Khan thought it would get. Title match, Kenny Omega return, gauntlet match. It's because WBD had let AEW know we need some juice put into these shows. And it was something related to advertising. I'm not sure why. but it was an important advertising set of dates for AEW and what they could, what they were able to do. And AEW did that. And also coming to Fightful Select, I got some pretty interesting and good news about AEW's viewership in the UK. I was able to intercept some information and then get it verified. But that's coming to Fightful Select. But yeah, thanks for letting me come on here and ramble, yeah. Guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Anytime. Hell yeah, brother.
Period.
Come back anytime.
Cresta, why are you in my living room right now?
I don't know, but can you please feed these cats? Bully Ray is pissed right now.
Oh.
Bully Ray, he's going to feed you. Come here, fatty.
Hey, y'all got the same piano and everything.
That's crazy.
She's even in my chair.
That's crazy.
Come on, Peter. This is the cat, and I've pulled out my headphone. Oh, she's mad. She's mad.
I want to know where the other angles of this room are, though.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set up the cameras.
I love how it's 11 o'clock at night almost, and it's still daylight where y'all are at.
That's crazy. Oh,
no. Oh, God. Jesus. Oh, that's my nightmares.
Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
keep forgetting that this happened. Like, I genuinely keep forgetting that this is a thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, best $5 in the business, honestly. Where else are you going to get this?
I appreciate you all so much. And Rick, thank you for doing this after, you know, you had a very busy week,
Oh my God, dude. I was telling them beforehand, it got even busier today because my furnace busted and I spent all day trying to fix that
thing.
It's been a week. It's been an absolute week, but hey, screw it. I'm here. What else am I going to do?
You can cover the Reds trading their international cap space.
Hey, I appreciate the Dodgers just giving us their scraps at this point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, international cap space was second on the Cincinnati Reds in on-base percentage last year. So,
yeah, well, they still got cash.
See you guys later.
Holding it down in right field.
Appreciate you all.
I didn't know there were other sports besides wrestling. That's crazy.
Honestly, I started talking about foosball, and I was like, the home run, the touchdown, the slam dunk.
What is that?
That's tired. Crazy. I'm sports bored.
I know we just saw Sean, but let's get a chance to reset here, and we'll see a little bit more of Sean right now.
I'm traveling a lot, and when you travel, you got to protect your data. You got to protect your privacy online. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows me to do that, allows me to browse safely and securely. When you go to an airport, when you go to an arena, a restaurant, a hotel, you're usually connecting to that unsecured Wi-Fi, which leaves you susceptible to having your data stolen, any number of things taken from your private connection or what should be your private connection. NordVPN.com/Fightful makes it a private connection with the fastest VPN in the world, a 30-day money-back guarantee, and a ton of other features in addition to that peace of mind that you get when you can browse safely and securely. And I'm talking all your devices, Surface Pro, laptop, desktop, PC, smart TV, router, phone, whatever you're taking with you, NordVPN.com/Fightful will add extra layers of security to your digital life. You can get a password manager, a file encryption tool. Be safe, be smart, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
We got, I wanted to bring this up. Texas Deathmatch 100% should have been made the main event tonight. Comment we got here. In hindsight, yeah, the way that the main event kind of shook out, and I know they sprinkled in Jericho a few times throughout the show tonight, which led up to, you know, Hobbs' big comeback at the end. I understand why they structured the show the way that they did, but 100%, especially, you know, this match meaning for Christopher Daniels what it did. I have to agree. I think that should have been the main event. Second match of the night. God, we're only on the second match. Let's pick up the pace here a little bit. We had Undisputed Kingdom defeat Shane Taylor Promotions, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly back together again. O'Reilly ended up pinning Sean Dean after he and Strong took him out with a running lariat leg sweep combo. Afterwards, Shane Taylor attacked the Undisputed Kingdom. He left all three men laying, started talking trash to Daddy Magic at the commentary desk, which prompted Daniel Garcia to rush the ring. He takes out everybody. He got a nice reaction from the Cincinnati crowd. Shane Taylor then gets taken down with the assist of Cole Strong and O'Reilly, and then everybody Iridian started staring right down at that TNT championship. Now later on, we got a trios match between these two groups that was set up, which is the return of Cool Hand Ange, which is going to be great to see him back next week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting though. They had all three of these guys staring down Daniel Garcia's TNT championship. And then later on in the night, they're talking about, well, we want to go out right now and prove that we are the best trio right now, which would set up Undisputed Kingdom to possibly go after the trios championships. Yet they're staring down the TNT title. I don't know why they do that tease and then go back to the trios thing. So I don't know. I felt like there was a bit of mixed signals there tonight.
Yeah, there was a little bit. I was kind of confused. At one moment, I was like, is Danny Garcia going to join Undisputed Kingdom? Which I wouldn't hate. I wouldn't hate. It would add a little spice into that group because I don't know how I feel about Undisputed Kingdom. But Interessante stuff, I honestly could see a couple matches back and forth between Danny Garcia and Kyle O'Reilly. I think those would be fantastic. I could also see Danny and Adam Cole a couple times. But for the TNT title, I don't know about that. So maybe Adam Cole was right in being like, you know what? We're just going to focus on us right now. But we'll get back to you later. We'll see what happens. But I don't know what's going to happen with that.
Is it sad, Cressa? I kind of forgot who had the Trios Championships when Adam Cole started talking about it. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. Who does have those right now? And then, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remembered. Yeah. The Death Riders have them currently.
Yeah. No, that's the same way I felt, too. I didn't know. First of all, there's a lot of questions. I was sports confused. I thought Kyle O'Reilly was mad at these guys. Now everything's cool. So we just dropped that.
They squashed their beef. They grilled it up and ate it.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Couldn't be me.
Either it couldn't be me or I need like some sort of real resolution because the will they, won't they was weird. Okay, yeah. Whatever. I also have no notes on this match. At that time in my home, a bug of weird origin infiltrated my home. So that was of great importance.
I thought the match itself was fine, honestly. I thought the match was fine. Yeah, I didn't really have a lot of notes on that as well. It was nice. It's nice to, I feel like the Undisputed Kingdom, which, you know, they got back together with such fanfare, and then Adam Cole's injury just kind of derailed everything. And it's really, and even him coming back, it's like, I understand why they wanted to finish up the MJF storyline. They still really have not left the station yet after being derailed and having to start over. So if this kind of helps build them up a little bit of momentum, if they are going to be going after the Trios Championships, I'm all for it. But it would be nice to see them do something substantial with those three guys right now, because they're kind of just chilling at the moment.
Let's talk about the infantry instead. I think we need to see more of them on Collision, more of them on Dynamite. I know they are featured prominently on Ring of Honor, but these guys are great and they got it. Like, this is another team that I'm just more excited to see them than I am Undisputed Kingdom. I feel like I've been seeing Undisputed Kingdom for 100 years already. And that's too many. Damn. Too many.
I think we even have a space where if you were concerned about where do you go with Private Party, you have the infantry right there. Even Lee Moriarty and Shane Taylor, if you want to do those guys as sort of those matches, I think, would really put Private Party in a position to always be in the conversation of one of AEW's greatest tag teams. If I reroute it back to the statement I was making before Sean came in, I don't see the Hurt Syndicate having the tag team on them for a long time. And that's not because they're bad. It's because, honestly, Bobby Lashley is a main eventer. He's going to have a single titles run. He's going to take that off of Mox or the next guy after him. That's coming imminently. Shelton Benjamin, honestly, a continental champion, an Owen Hart Cup winner. He deserves that. Tag titles, I'm like, for the sake of pivoting, yeah, Bobby needs something. But Private Party literally got here 5 seconds ago in the winner's circle, and we're taking it off of them. Yeah. Just to know that it's going to come right off the Hurt Syndicate is kind of like, do they need it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it'd be nice to see the infantry. If I'm routing it back to where we're at, the infantry would be nice to see on TV more. I just think that AEW's tag team division sometimes seems to center around two or three tag teams, and it's kind of like, why?
We had a backstage interview with Will Ospreay and Alicia Toot. He says, hey, look, we need me and Kenny Omega. We got to talk. So they're going to talk on Dynamite. So that will be interesting. You had your big meaty men, Lance Archer and Brian Cage, come out. They defeated Top Flight with a powerbomb chokeslam combo on Darius Martin. This was a relatively easy win for the Murder Machines here, Iridium. But the story to me is, not only did they get their asses kicked during the match, they then got their asses kicked after the match with Leo Rush and Action Andretti wearing like puffy red spike sleeveless jackets, no less. Like, this was just honestly a very disrespectful night for Top Flight. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry. If I get my ass kicked by somebody wearing that jacket, I'm done. I'm out. There's no coming back from that.
First of all, I went on Twitter and I said, whose ideas was that jacket? Because it literally looks like COVID. Like, you look up a picture of COVID.
Damn.
Right next to it is that jacket. Side by side. Go on my Twitter. Iridian_Fiero. You will see it there.
I was thinking like Bowser from Mario, but okay.
No, but it literally looks like COVID. And that's no offense. Like, that's just what it looks like to me. That's my opinion. Sorry. But Murder Machines, when they came out, I was like, period. You do you, boo. I'm here for it. And then they would go, Top Flight already in the ring. I said, oh, damn.
Not the job, man.
Here we go.
They actually did get an entrance. Like I said, there were some things that were cut because the show ran long. So entrances were one of them. Yeah.
Well, we didn't get to see it on TV. And I said, this is it. This is not good for them. And I was right. Happy, though, that the Murder Machines picked up a win, because for the long time, Lance Archer was just saying that he was going to be out here. Everybody dies, and no one was dying. Okay.
In fact,
just the people in the back.
No one was dying. And I'm like, all right, sir, you're not a man of your word or a man of your theme song. But he's proven himself 10 out of 10. I love it. I'm glad that they've kind of found a rhythm as a tag team. And I honestly think that they could be tag team champs. I don't know if it's going to be any time soon, but I do see them as champions.
I thought Brian Cage had a hell of a week, obviously with his match with Kenny on Wednesday, which was really, really good. I mean, think about the spot, the pressure, Cresta, of being put in. You're Kenny Omega's first match in AEW in over a year. This is a dream match that you have wanted for a long time. And, you know, hey, there you go. You're getting Kenny, and you got to go out there and, you know, help him make his first match back in over a year be successful. And I think he delivered with flying colors.
I'm going to stand by Brian Cage to the end of time. I've been a fan of his since TNA. I'm a fan of him now. I think the mistreatment of Brian Cage is criminal. It's out of order. And honestly, y'all know how I feel about a big meaty man. So a big meaty team, 10 out of 10. Give me gout. I need it right now. I do want something more. I do think that, okay, start over the sentence, because my brain is going a million miles a minute, because now I'm thinking about that Brian Cage, Kenny Omega match. Oh boy, was that a good one. I do think that there is a trust level that you have with Brian Cage. And I think that he is somebody else that could be the guy. Unfortunately for me, I like them as a tag team, but much like the Hurt Syndicate, I'm like, these are main eventers, man. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to get in. Not everyone could win the title. So get in where you fit in. but put it on them. Let them have some meaty matches. Them versus the Hurt Syndicate. Oh, Brazilian Steakhouse. I'm so hungry. All you can eat, man.
The segment of the night for me, by the way, which was something that I think all three of us on the panel have.
Oh, here we go. I know what you're going to talk about.
Like, please, for the love of God, just get to it. Just get to it. Just get to it. It was like being there live to witness the end of the Acclaimed was just, just let me just drink this down. This is gold. This is exactly what I needed. And this is exactly what I wanted from Anthony Bowens tonight, right? Like, Max Caster, to his credit, came out there and just came off like a whiny little bitch. That's the character that's the role he was playing in all of this. He played it to perfection. The crowd was booing the absolute hell out of him. I wish, again, the mics were better, because that man from the jump, the crowd was chanting, shut the fuck up. Like, we wanted none of Max Caster. And the second he said, give it up for Anthony Bowens, guys, we're all like, finally, yes, here comes Bowens. And he comes out there and he's talking about how, you know, for the last 5 years, he's been like trying to, you know, hype up his man Max Caster, and he's been actually just lying to people because this man, hold on, let me get the full quote. I got it here. Let's see, what did he call him? He called him an arrogant, cocky, selfish, edgelord piece of shit. That got an incredible reaction from the crowd, if you didn't hear it on television tonight. And then proceeded to rattle off some really great like nicknames and liners for himself, calling himself a wrestling's five-tool player, which as a former baseball player works well for him. The pride of AEW works on so many different levels, and says that he has all the tools to be a world champion. Let me stop there before we get to the actual breakup and we can all celebrate. Iridian, perfect promo, no notes for me on from Anthony Bowens. He didn't tell a single lie.
Oh my goodness. This was my favorite moment of the night. My favorite moment. I have half a page of notes dedicated.
Is that a flow chart?
Dedicated to this breakup. And honestly, it was just fantastic. I think Anthony Bowens, for a long time, I've seen him as a top contender in AEW. I've been waiting for them to break up to really give him that time. Like, I think out of the two, Anthony has got just a little bit more oomph. And that's no shade to Max Caster, but I was just like, this is what we've been wanting. We've been talking about it every week. Like, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? And it finally did. And Max Caster coming out in his little Louis, I said, sir, you are no Ricky Starks.
Oh,
you are no Ricky Starks. Okay. Ricky did it first. Ricky did it better. But I wrote a whole line of boo. I don't know. Jesus. Yeah, I wrote boo, the whole line on that. I said, cut this mic. This man is Delulu, honestly delusional, thinking he's the best wrestler or the greatest wrestler ever, whatever his jacket said. But he's actually got that trademark. I don't know if you guys know this. It's an actual trademark that he has. So
best wrestler on the planet. Is that what?
Yes.
That is?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. But man, I'm so ready for this match for Max Caster versus Anthony Bowens. It's just going to be so good. It's going to be so good. I don't know when they're going to have it. I just need to see it, because there's just so many great things that are going to come from this. I honestly was wondering when Daddy Ass was going to come out. I was like, where is he going to play into this? What's going to happen? Is he going to be like, boys, relax. We're still family. You're brothers. You're fine. Mm-hmm. But that did not happen. And I'm glad that it didn't, because we needed this breakup. I think we did. Cresta, do you agree with me?
100%. And I'm a certified hater, and I absolutely love this. And let me tell you why, because I'm not a hater for free. I'm a nuanced hater, okay? So this is good for the both of them.
Yeah.
I think that Max Caster needed something to freshen up his character in totality. There is a good wrestler in there. There's a lot of swag, a natural charisma, maybe even a slimy heel. Yeah. But right now, the tag team, unfortunately, has run its course. And it's one of those tag teams that I feel, since they are an AEW original, we can visit this down the line. Anthony Bowens right now, unfortunately for Max Caster, as much as charisma as he has, Anthony Bowens has more charisma. And unfortunately, too, for Max Caster, they've just been labeling you corny, baby. Just like Ricochet. The difference is, like, Dominic and Ricochet can be corny and take it in stride. Mm-hmm. Max Caster, unfortunately, at least the way it's been presented. You can't take the corniness in stride. You want to be a cool kid. Sometimes you a corn. It's okay to be a corn. I'm corny. There's nothing wrong being a cornball. But when you try to force, like, nah, I'm cool, people definitely going to call you corny. So this is great for the both of them, because I think that this refreshes Max Caster if he needs to step away and come back. And Anthony Bowman, this really puts the ball in your court, because a lot of people are like, we want to see you do a singles run. But then I think of what happened to Ricky Starks, but that's another tale for another time. Mm. So I didn't hate it. I thought it was fantastic. I want to see where this goes for both of them. And like Iridian said, that match between them.
It's so good.
Oh, my God. I
don't want to see it next month.
I don't want to
see it. I don't want to see it next month. I don't want to see it in March. I don't want to see it in April. I want these two to kind of go down separate roads, but still have Max like kind of keeping his eye on Anthony Bowens. Like, I would love to see Bowens go on an extended singles run, because you know you're going to get the crowd behind him. He's, you know, have him rack up some wins. Maybe, I don't know, maybe beat Okada for the Continental Championship, something like that, right? Like, because I don't see him beating Daniel Garcia, and I don't see him winning the World Championship this year, right? I mean, who knows what happens, but I want to see Max Caster go out and flounder in the ring and then just continue to be that whiny little bitch and play that scorned lover kind of thing where he's just constantly like checking in on his ex and watching his ex thrive without him when he thought like he was supposed to be, right? Like you're going to regret it. Like when he left tonight, like you're not dumping me, I'm dumping you, right? Like just total, this was like this wasn't a tag team breakup. This felt like a relationship breakup. And I believe they did that on purpose. And I really want to see Max lean into that and really lean into that slimy heel. Like, you are just the worst type of person. We hate you, and continue to get nuclear heat, which is only going to benefit him down the line, just like it has Dominic in WWE. But they can be completely different nuclear heat level heels.
Rick, I gotta ask you then, do you think there's a timeline where Max Caster, being the best wrestler in the world, teams up with MJF?
Oh, Jesus.
Like, you want to talk about heat?
If you would have asked me that question a few months ago, I would have said yes. I just think they're on different trajectories at the moment. I think it would be forcing it. I think it would be trying to force it to bring an old storyline back to the forefront. I think Max is doing his own thing right now, so
that's fair.
Yeah.
The rest of the segment, we did get Billy Gunn to come down a little bit to try to stop the bickering, but he ran into a rant from Max Caster, which I thought was some of his best mic work. Great. In a while. You know, blame Billy for all the tension between himself and Bowens, and said every team that Billy has ever been a part of has broken up. Even his own sons want absolutely nothing to do with him, which I thought was a great line.
Yeah.
He told Bowens, look, like you got to choose. You choose between me or washed up Billy Gunn. And Bowens like barely even hesitated to flip Max the finger. And that's when Max just went off and had his little whiny little rant that he did. And I thought it was great that Bowens and Billy kind of scissored one final time and put the final nail, final scissor, whatever you want to call it, in the Acclaim's coffin here. So what's interesting to me is, where does Billy Gunn still stay around with Bowens as like his pseudo manager, or do we not see Billy for much anymore? What do you think?
I need Billy back with the guns. I'm tired of them
with that
beating around the bush. Get to it. Okay, when whoever's injured comes back, I don't know if it's Colton or Austin. I don't know which one is out right now.
I believe it's Colton.
Okay. Well, Colton comes back. I need that to happen, because we need to start moving in different directions. I think Bang Bang Gang is also kind of run its course. You got Juice also out. Jay White. I don't know where Jay White is. So we're just like kind of flip-flopping. Just give me the guns, all three of them. And the merch would be iconic. The matches would be great. You don't need Billy in there wrestling, but you know that he can. There's certain matches where he could be in, but like, we need that. We need that. And I feel like sometimes AEW doesn't pull the trigger on certain things. Like, we didn't get to see the Hardys versus Christian and Edge. Like, I was so mad that we never got that visited in AEW. Like, there was just some missed opportunities, and it happens more often than not. So I feel like we need to do this. We need to see this because they need to be together. Like, come on. I feel like they also want to work together at some point, right? Why not now?
Yeah, no, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that at this point, since Scissor Me has run its course, and I do agree that Bang Bang Gang has run its course, because at this point, only thing the Bang Bang Gang, in my opinion, can do to further that storyline, Juice comes back, they take on the Death Riders with somebody else. Mm-hmm. But even then, I still want something else for Jay White. I want him in a main event so bad, so bad. And also, it's time. On the next episode of AEW, let the healing begin. Let the fathers and sons come together. And we have enough storyline where houses are getting burnt down, people getting stabbed with scissors. Why can't we have some healing?
No.
Am I wrong?
No. Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong on this one. Any storyline that Swerve Strickland is in is just going to take off. What's going on between him and Ricochet right now has got my full full attention on this one. We did get him interviewed with Lexi Nair. Says that he is looking forward to the match between himself and Ricochet in Atlanta coming up on, I believe, February 5th, 3 weeks from now. But says but promises that he's going to be seeing him way before then. The segment that they had on Wednesday where Ricochet got booed out of the building, got the Dominic Mysterio treatment, couldn't even talk, and then Nana comes up and blasts him with a chair before doing his little dance.
That was so unserious. He hit him and just started doing this. That is, Nana's not a serious person.
Him being unserious in a serious moment and then having Swerve Strickland come down and try to kill Ricochet with a gigantic ass steel chain was perfect. I was all for everything that happened in that segment. Tonight we had Kazuchika Okada defeating Tomohiro Ishii to retain the AEW Continental Championship. Thought this was a pretty solid bout between these two guys. Obviously, they have great chemistry with one another. Okada tried multiple times to hit his finisher. Ended up having to occupy the ref with the ring bell. Then he kicked Ishii below the belt, finally connected on the Rainmaker to get the win. Iridian, what did you think of our Continental Championship match tonight?
Shout out to Okada, because he literally, 10 out of 10, that little promo that he cut before the show even started, I said, period, no notes. I don't know what was happening. Okada, you will be famous forever, honestly. This match with Ishii, I was like, okay, sir, you didn't really have to go that hard, but you did. And I feel like they're never going to under-deliver. They are always going to give you a good match. And I wish it was a little bit longer, but I mean, it is what it is. I liked that on commentary that mentioned, like, these guys have been in the ring together like over 370 times. I said, whoa now.
Not the whoa now.
Whoa now. That's the whole year. Y'all been every single day? Damn. But it was a fun little fact that they threw in there. I really like that.
Yeah, we got people in the chat saying wish that this match would have gone longer as well. This was one of those things, like when this match started, so I'm sitting in the crowd and the match finished up. And I think by the time the match finished up, it was like at like 9:20, 9:25, somewhere around there. And I'm like, oh, damn, we still have Harley and Julia and the main event to go tonight. And then Dustin Rhodes' music hit and I'm like, how are we cramming everything into 40 minutes? What
is transpiring here on this fine day?
What is going on? Like, I like Dustin Rhodes. Don't get me wrong. Did we need this Dustin Rhodes, Adam Priest squash match tonight on the show? Did this have no disrespect to the Natural, no disrespect to Adam Priest. Thank God he didn't break his damn neck on the swinging power slam in this match. That was a scary spot to watch in the crowd and then watch it again on television. Was there a point to this match? I felt like you had so much that you did trim off. There were minutes out of matches that were trimmed. There were entrances that were trimmed off. I feel like they could have cut this entire match from the show, to be completely honest with you, and saved all the time there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I cut that match completely from my notes because I didn't write anything about it. So,
I mean, it was okay for what it was, but there was just no point to have it, I don't think.
I agree with that.
given that time to Julia and to Harley, I think that would have been the best decision.
They get, they did get a good amount of time. But again, there were some, I believe my memory's not great. I think there was a couple minutes cut out in the middle of the match, but okay. they did get a good amount of time, which I was really happy to see, because ladies, that was our only match, our only women's match on the card tonight. We had Julia Hart defeat Carly Cameron by submission. I thought this was a really, really good back and forth. Much of the crowd throughout the night was, or throughout this match, was battling with each other. It was a split crowd. You had fans who wanted Julia to win. You had fans like myself who wanted Harley Cameron to win. I loved Harley still selling the effects of being misted on Dynamite when she took off the sunglasses and she was blinded by the by the bright lights in the arena. She is so freaking good at what she does. She's got the character stuff, the entertainment stuff down, and she's just going to keep getting better and better in the ring. I thought this was a really good back and forth match. I'm happy to see that they keep giving Harley like a lot of the offense in the matches that she's had. The one that she had, I remember, I think when she lost to Mariah, Hot Girl Graps last week, yeah. Like she dominated most of that match and Mariah just beat her in the end. So it's like, if they want to keep doing that, sooner or later, she's going to start picking up wins. And I can't wait for that moment to actually happen. But I'm glad that if we were only going to get one women's match tonight, Iridian, this was it. Cause this was a nice little thing that was set up from the gauntlet match on Wednesday.
You know, Miss Harley selling that little mist that she got. You know who used to do that? Sky Blue. And then she was recruited. All right. So I feel it. I feel it. This is the way that you can build the House of Heart, right?
Did you take my notes? Did you write my notes for me? Because that's
Are we
the same person?
We are. We are, just different living rooms.
Yes. Sean's house, your house.
I see that you can have Julia, you can have Harley in the addition. And when Sky Blue comes back, you got those three girls and they run the show. They could really be what they tried to do with Saraya and with Harley and Ruby. Mm-hmm. I don't think that worked out, but this Julia is really something special. Harley is really working at it. Sky Blue was also really working at it. And I see it. I see it could work. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Cresta?
I honestly don't hate that. I literally wrote that down. I think this is a great path to a House of Heart situation, especially with the speculation or the confirmation that Malakai is leaving, or that the House of Black is breaking up or reforming or reshaping. I think this is a great time to shake up the women's division. Another division, much like the tag division, which sometimes if it doesn't revolve around a couple of athletes, it kind of is stagnant and doesn't go anywhere. I would love to see that. My only critique of that is, as good as Harley is, because she's definitely going to be, She's coming almost like Eddie Kingston and that cult-like following. Like, oh my God, we love Harley. And yeah. She's a homegrown and she's original. My only thing is that House of Black or House of Heart would require a certain, not hot girl graps, if you will. And I don't think she's quite there yet. She's getting there very fast, but cool, not quite yet. And I don't want to see her in a blood match yet. I don't. No, thank you.
But we've seen it. We've seen it from her. We know that she can do it.
Oh, she can go. No, she went toe to toe in Thunder Rosa's, you know, playground.
I think that's a different kind of blood match, because Thunder Rosa will beat it out of you. House of Black, that's fun. That's a typical Tuesday for them. They walk their dogs in blood as a Mox match. I don't want to see that.
So here's my only thing about that. Harley Cameron, over the last several months, since Saraya has taken her time away for the company, her being by herself and just being able to use her creative mind and her talents, she's flourished on her own.
True.
Like, I love Saraya, all the respect in the world to Saraya, but her leaving was the best thing that happened to Harley Cameron. I don't want to see Harley Cameron become second fiddle to anybody else anymore. I want to see her just continue to stand on her own and continue to grow. And as long as she keeps busting hump, she keeps getting opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And Tony Khan, he's not an idiot. He sees people talking about her. He sees people like myself writing columns about her and interviewing her and wanting to talk to her and wanting to see her on television more. She's got momentum going now in the trajectory that she's already on. Mm-hmm. She just got her own Titantron and a song that she did herself just a few weeks ago. I don't want to see her in some kind of House of Black, you know, kind of level second fiddle type thing to Julia Hart right now.
Yeah,
I just want to see her start picking up wins as a singles competitor and see if she can work her way up. I think she needs like a Danny Garcia, like Women's Continental Classic type thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's
okay.
What she needs.
Well, then I would hope that that's the direction that they are hoping to go with her to push her, because we brought in a lot of women. We brought in Taya. We brought in Deonna. And where are they? Anna Jay, they sent her to New Japan. She's big over there. She was working and doing great in AEW, and then they just stopped having her on. So there's just a couple women that are like floating here and there. What happened to Camille? What's going on? Like, there's just so much.
I thought the injury was real, unless it was.
The Camille thing is interesting because she has a significant role in the Queen of the Ring movie that is coming out on March 7th. Like,
so why wouldn't they promote it?
Exactly. That's my question. That's my question. Mm. Like that's got Mercedes and Star Wars WWE level vibes of like, why the fuck aren't you promoting the hell out of this?
Tony Khan, somebody call him. Get Tony on the line. Get Tony on Fightful right now.
Y'all already. Anthony, I'm calling right now. Pick up the line.
Hold on.
So,
three-way, Rick will involve you, four-way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But that I think that's my biggest thing with the women's division right now. Like Sean had mentioned, right, when he was on with us, like Warner Brothers Discovery said, hey, look, we need you to make these two major shows. This is big advertising for us. So we come out and we get two squash matches tonight instead of featuring Willow Nightingale or featuring Chris Statlander or featuring Thunder Rosa or featuring Deonna Purrazzo or Taya Valkyrie. Or I'm like, you have so much of what Tony has that is marketable. Mariah May, she could have had a women's world title match. I'm like, we had the men's world title match. And I understand why you do that. John Moxley, Cincinnati. I get it. Right. You could have had Mariah May defend the title tonight. Like that could have easily have been the main event, right? She could have defended against somebody. It doesn't have to be Toni Storm, but that could have been the main event tonight instead of this 12-man tag match that we haven't even gotten to that got absolutely obliterated on social media. Right. So like you didn't have to have Moxley on both shows. I understand why you want to put Moxley on both shows, but the 12-man tag match it's still just baffling to me that's, you know, what they wanted to do. Yes, people brought up in the chat, Britt has come and gone back and forth. We're still not getting Athena on AEW programming, which she said was coming. And I'm sitting here going, okay, fucking when? No disrespect. I know she's got her own show on Ring of Honor, and that is spectacular for her. But Serena Deeb, not on the show tonight. Did I say
Queen Amagata? You have Trisha Dora who was there, but like, what are we doing? Like
Hikaru Shida, where is she at right
where's
now?
Where's Nyla?
Layla Gray, she don't need to be on the sidelines. What's happening?
Yeah, I was gonna say I know Saraya's taking some time off right now. I know, you know, we know why Ruby's not there. But where the hell's Penelope Ford? Like you just brought her back like 3 weeks ago. They were doing something with Harley, and then that just got completely dropped, right? So it's like there's so much of talent that he has. By the way, one name we didn't even bring up yet. Mercedes Moné is on an absolute heater right now.
Yeah.
She's not involved in any of these two shows. You don't want to have the CEO. Like she did a video package for her on Wednesday, but she's not involved in this. Like on a week that the Warner Brothers is sitting here saying, hey, we need this. This is a big week, you know, market the hell out of this, make it as a big show. And you don't want to, There was a lot of women that he could have really featured. Mm-hmm. The Casino Gauntlet match, great. The talent that got involved in there, great. All seven of those women that got involved, they got 13 minutes. So 13 minutes, and then the match with Harley and Julia Hart tonight, who are also two women who were featured in the Casino Gauntlet match, they got maybe 10 minutes or so. So 4 hours, 23 minutes worth of women's wrestling not a lot of storyline progression outside of, you know, Tony's interview tonight. So again, there's a lot of things that he could have done to lean into what I think is arguably his most marketable thing right now, which is that women's division. That women's division is absolutely stacked. Yeah. And on a show like tonight and on Wednesday, I would love to see more emphasis be put on that. Your top two women's champions were barely involved in these two shows that your network asked you to make important and feel important, and they weren't. And it's a little disappointing.
Get her, Rick. No, you spit nothing but facts. No, yeah. It's kind of like, bro, Thunder Rosa, there's so many things you have, and you think about in the totality for 4 hours, only 20, 30 minutes. I'm calling the police. I'm calling the rest.
And look, there's always extenuating circumstances. Maybe Mercedes has something going on. Maybe there are outside projects. Maybe somebody's injured. Maybe there are visa issues right there. There's who knows what's going on with Britt Baker right now, but she keeps coming back and leaving and coming back and leaving. So there's always things that go on backstage that we don't know about. Right. So I'm trying to keep that in mind here. But again, I go back. You had Mariah May in town. She was on the show on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Have her defend the title on Thursday night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And look, you made a great point about Mercedes. She's got, I think, 4 championships right now.
Yeah.
And even if she couldn't be there, have a video package. She was on Sherry Shepherd. Like, say, oh, you
they
know
did,
what?
They did run. Did they not run that on television on Wednesday?
Oh, they did on Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. They ran one in the arena. Religion. I didn't know if it made it to TV or not.
Yeah, you could have put it on for tonight and been like, oh, you know, this is the life of a champion. I'm out there doing interviews. I'm out there, you know, like something small, but it's like, come on. You have like these big things that you can really use to your advantage for promotion purposes. And they're just like not doing it. But
yeah. The biggest crime is
tired of how the women are treated.
Yeah. The biggest crime is the fact that you got Deonna Purrazzo, who's just on the sidelines right now for seemingly no reason.
I have to tell you, the amount of angry that it did. Honestly, I'm so angry at this because she's so phenomenal. Like, I make the joke that every time she puts someone in the Venus de Milo, Perry Saturn cries. It's kind of not a joke. She's, in my opinion, if there are technical wrestler gods, Deonna Purrazzo has to be in your top 3. You can put Danielson up there if you want, but if she's not in there, you're a hater and you don't like women. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, I said it. She's so good. She's so good. And
there's a lot of women in this division who are ridiculous.
I'm angry again.
I will never not fight for more time for the women. And look, I get it. There was a big historic first match. Tony had a promo tonight. Harley and Julia had a really good match that got a lot of time in Cincinnati. Those are all really, really good things. And I'm happy we got all of those things. Doesn't mean I can't be selfish and ask for a little bit more, especially when there were some stuff that happened on both of these shows where I'm sitting here going, did we need that? Did we need that? Maybe not. Maybe not. Just a reminder, guys, the Fightful Awards tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, brought to you by NordVPN tomorrow. Sean told me a little bit about what he's got going on for this show tomorrow. I'm not going to unveil any of the secrets, but you're definitely going to want to make sure that you tune in for that. Ladies, our main event tonight, Rated FTR, the Outrunners, Powerhouse Hobbs. They defeated the Death Riders and the Learning Tree, and as we expected, this match was just anarchy. By the end of it, many of the competitors ended up fighting into the crowd and out into the streets of Cincinnati and never returned. Powerhouse Hobbs was actually taken out ahead of this match starting by the Learning Tree. He shows up at the end to help out the Outrunners, who were like the only two dudes left on their team that did not leave the match and just say, screw this thing. When half of your competitors just say, screw this damn match, maybe that's not the best way to book this big 12-man tag match that everybody said, why are we having this, when half of your field just says, fuck this match. But anyway, I digress. Hobbs returns, helps out the Outrunners. He takes out the bad apple Brian Keith with a big spine buster to get the win. Being there live, though, and this is one of the things that sucks that it got cut. God damn, the Outrunners are over. Like, their entrance was fire. We didn't get their entrance on TV tonight. After the match ended, They cut Powerhouse Hobbs music. They turned on the Outrunners music, and Cincinnati was bouncing, man. It was really, really cool shit to be there live that we didn't get on television, and it sucks. But I love the Outrunners. They're massively over. Their gimmick just works. I thought they really shined in this match. But this was obviously something Iridian to kind of give Powerhouse Hobbs a bit of a bone here. And I am liking... Of everything that has happened this week in Cincinnati, and last week in Clarksville, the emergence of Powerhouse Hobbs as a solos act and getting his first like legitimately significant push in a long time is a nice development.
Yeah, they're really pushing him into that field of a star, right? You know, the Learning Tree could have taken out anybody. Why did they take out Hobbs? Because they see Hobbs as a threat.
Yes.
You know, Hobbs got that entrance coming back and like on one leg, I was like, okay, sir, you do you then. That's your choice. Wouldn't have made it if it was me. I wouldn't have gone out there on one leg.
I would have said fuck this match, but.
Yeah, but you do you, Hobbs. man, it's I love that you said that the Outrunners are over because I absolutely love them. Those guys are so great. I have such a special place in my heart for them. They're just fantastic, and the music 10 out of 10 characters.
Oh my god, it's dude, it just makes me want to get on a Stairmaster, right? Like for like, you know,
in the 70s
or a trampoline or something like that. It just makes me want to get up and move.
It's the yin to FTR's yang because it's song is straight out of the 80s. Ding 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 ding.
Man, so good. It was just a fantastic. What I did love though, Rick, I know you were there live earlier this week, and you immediately put in the group chat, Iridian, be prepared, because Yuta does not make it well in this match. And yeah, can confirm that did happen. I ended up taking my contacts out because I don't want to see it anymore.
That's crazy.
During this match.
There was a lot of Wheeler Yuta disrespect. Wheeler Yuta got just disrespected. Yeah. He was the bump guy tonight, for sure.
Tonight? Every night.
I mean, Iridian, you're not gonna like this. I was with you with Yuta, but he's been acting like a little shit lately.
Okay.
So, no, listen. I can't defend him when he's acting like this. So he absolutely deserved this. I'm sorry.
You missed Krusty, you missed it last week when I basically said he was the, I don't know if you watch Family Guy, but he's the Meg of AEW.
Yeah, no, because we all started to feel bad for him, and then he's like, actually, I'm a bad guy, and now we're all like, shut up, Wheeler. We were all rooting. This is exactly like that scene from America's Next Top Model where Tyra starts yelling, we were all rooting for you, Tiffany. My mom only yells at me when she loves me, okay? Oh, I'm so mad at him, because I wanted him to be brainwashed.
Okay.
He's gotten better, but I hate him right now. I gotta tell you.
I'm glad that you mentioned brainwashed, because Tony Schiavone also said, you know, at the beginning, you know, I felt sorry for him. You know, I felt that he was brainwashed, which is how I felt. Mm-hmm. I was like, you got a little Stockholm syndrome because you're just traumatized. That's what you got to do right now to survive. That's what you got to do. And then like, they keep yelling at him and he keeps staying like, sir, leave.
Yo, we gonna have words with it. Cause I was rooting for you. I was rooting for you.
That's like, the second call we're going to make tonight. The first one on Wheeler Yuta.
I might have missed it on TV. I don't know if they showed it, but when Wheeler got knocked off the apron,
did people cheer?
Well, they did. But did you see the look that Claudio gave him? That, like, that what the fuck is wrong with you look? Like, just like the total, just like disrespect, like, man, you're fucking this pig again. Like, everything just keeps getting thrown on him. You know, like,
why did you say those words?
Why did you say those words is insane follow-up to the first thing that he said. I don't even know how to articulate what is happening on this stream on this fine day.
That just means you're screwing things up. That's
that's true. You know what? Grand opening, grand closing.
Do you guys remember that promo that Blackpool Combat Club did a long time ago when William Regal was still there? And it was like them training in a garage, and it was just Claudio or Mox beating up Wheeler Yuta with William Regal in the back just chilling. It feels like that's not stopped.
I don't know what's going on over there. And also to your point, Rick, when half the people walk out because they tried to kidnap Adam Copeland in the middle of a match.
That was crazy.
Beyond the Death Riders at this point, to me, making no sense and just chaos for chaos' sake. These guys have a kidnapping problem. That's a felonious act. I'm just saying, you might want to lay low. Hey, pal.
Yeah. I mean, at least they've like graduated to a black bag instead of a clear one, so we don't have to see the person suffocating.
Girl, so we saw one murder, the FTR get kidnapped, and then an attempted kidnapping with Adam Colton, and that man is like 9'9". He's really tall. So
yes.
That's why I took all of them, because he had all his limbs. He's really tall, dude. I don't know, man. Like, the Death Riders prison.
Prison.
The amount of crimes that are allowed to be committed because wrestling, right? Like that's across the board. Like, how many assaults have we seen in the NXT parking lot? Like,
I watched TNA.
Tony D'Angelo actually legitimately killed somebody, like, on television.
If they're going to continue to be this chaotic, bring back the Stadium Stampede match. I need
that has to happen.
Hangman on a horse. I know he.
Like,
do you remember him trotting down the field in a horse? Like, that was crazy. People were getting thrown in pools.
It would have to be him, Bandito, and Bandit Keith on a horse. And, oh my God. Yo, Tony Khan, yo, answer your phone right now. I have an idea.
So many possibilities.
And so here's the other thing about this match that, like, throughout the night, right, throughout the night, it was, can Moxley and Jericho coexist? Can they coexist? Can they coexist? Can
I
they
forgot
coexist?
About Jericho, honestly.
And then we get to the match. There's not one bit of tension between Moxley and Chris Jericho in the entire match. There was one stare down where Jericho's like, tag me. And Mox is like, all right. And that was it. That was it. Like, this, they really like Tony listened to the online criticism. And then they really leaned into it with Jericho's promo work tonight. And then the match gets there and it's like, fuck it. I'm like, really? Nothing
for me.
Nothing. Nothing. Okay. All right. That's fine. That's it. We've reached the end of the show. We have reached the end of the show. I love how we said, oh, this will be a short one tonight. And here we are. We're hitting the 90-minute mark.
This is the longest one we've probably had.
Sean Ross Sapp did a run-in, and he hit us with the Undertaker entrance of a 30-minute. So it's not our fault. It was his fault. So I'm blaming this on Sean Ross Sapp.
Yeah, sure. We'll just blame him on everything. Iridium, where can people find your work? What you got going on?
Well, since TikTok is officially banned, I already logged in, and it's gone. You can't.
Are you serious? Don't.
Yeah, you can't see anything. So follow me on Twitter, Iridian_Fiero, and head over to YouTube. That's where I will be posting my reels, my videos, everything. That's Rest Friends, WREST, Friends on YouTube. Head over there. Yep. It's at TikTok, not available right now. So
it's not even Sunday yet.
Sad girl vibes. But yeah, I have some. I do little Monday Night Raw recaps now. So 10 out of 10. Cresta, what you got? Where can our followers find you? Not on TikTok.
Not only are my flabbers gassed, it's the Royal Rumble right now with these two cats. They're doing the tables, ladders, and chairs, and I'm the third one. I gotta do my running for the cat food. Yo, it's not even Sunday, and this is crazy. I hate it here. My name is Cresta Star. I was on TikTok with 87,000 followers, but now I'm just a regular Twitch guy again. Hey, wow. You can find me here every Thursday and Saturday going over wrestling, TNA on Thursdays, and Collision here on Saturdays. Every Wednesday, I watch AEW with you over on my Twitch. And follow me on social media. I'm going to end this because Ricky Bobby over here, these two cats are fighting each other. Rick, where can they find you?
Yeah, I was never on TikTok. So, who looks smart now? Anyway, you can follow me on X and Instagram at Rick Uccino, as it's spelled right up there on the screen. In the last few weeks, I've had a chance to talk to, quite a few people. The new year started out with Adam Copeland, Harley Cameron, and most recently, Toni Storm. So you can check out my interview with her. It's my pinned tweet right now, pinned post, whatever the hell it's called these days over on X. Social media be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So many changes. Everything, whatever. We're all still connected. We're all still talking. And we're all still right here on the Fightful YouTube channel every Saturday night. So you can join us here. Again, make sure to check out the Fightful Award Show tomorrow, brought to you by NordVPN, 6 p.m. Sean's got some really, really good stuff mixed in for the show tomorrow night. So again, and also, by the way, all super chats, as Sean said, super chats, humper chats, they're going to a good cause. So make sure you guys tune in tomorrow. Make sure to give this video a like. Make sure to give the channel a subscribe if you haven't already. And we've talked enough. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.